Phoenix Down Radio is on the air. With your hosts,
Klaus Nightbringer,
Fair Timono,
Chili,
and Luna Vox.
Welcome, everybody, to Phoenix Down Radio, episode number 59. How's everyone doing tonight?
I decided to show up.
And I need to get you on the screen here just a moment. Luna, you sound terrible, girl.
I fucking told you.
My God, how are you doing?
Dying.
Well, if you need to take a break for however long, save your voice. I'm glad you could join us, though. Happy Christmas. Happy Starlight.
Happy Merry Christmas. Birth of baby Jesus Miss.
Yes.
Baby Jesus.
And for me, happy birth Miss.
Yes, happy birth Miss to Klaus.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, yesterday was my birthday. My birth Miss.
Your name day.
Yes, my name
Klaus,
day.
Klaus, your HUD is still up.
Oh, crap, it is. How dare it be?
Hey, everyone can see our names once. We can see your HUD.
Yes. All right. Better? Better. My immersion!
It's ruined. It's gone.
Sarah, you can unmute yourself if you'd like. That's a thing. You're allowed.
I have this Carolina Reaper stuff.
I was wondering why no one was responding to me.
Because nobody could hear you.
I have this Carolina Reaper stuff on my desk. Do you want me to join you?
No, we need people who can talk, Luna. And
Chili.
Chili. Braining.
Klaus apparently can no longer tell the difference between the two of you.
Nope.
Me and Chili are the same person now.
It's canon.
All of my conspiracy theories. All
right. How's everybody doing? I hope everyone's having a good evening.
Pretty good.
I want to thank everybody who stopped by the holiday party today. It was a great success, I thought, for the first annual Phoenix Down Radio / Phoenix Rising Free Company Starlight Celebration Party. We had a bunch of people show up. We gave away some really cool prizes. We had some really cool games that we played. We played Hide the Chili.
Not what it sounds like.
Totally what it sounds like. Chili went and hid in the subdivision.
Yep. Oh, I guess that is what it sounds like.
Yes. So we had a lot of fun there. So thank you everybody who stopped by. I hope some of you are still joining us in the show. We gave away a bunch of minions, a couple of orchestrion rolls, and a zoom out. So congratulations to all the winners of that. But the giving is not going to end with that. We are going to be giving away some things on the show tonight as well, in honor of Starlight / Christmas. We want to.
I am keep... not one of them.
We're not giving you away.
You want to as long as you pay me. I don't care.
Wait! You wait! You can agree to the contract not to be given away. I should have read it.
Yeah. Why are you reading all, signing all the stuff you ain't reading?
I saw. From Klaus, I thought I'd calcite it.
All right, what we're going to do, we're going to start off the show with a giveaway. Twitch recently allowed for the gifting of subs. So we are going to start off by giving away a subscription to Phoenix Down Radio. So if you want to enter in that, I'm going to set up a giveaway here real quick. I apologize to those of you listening on the podcast. This is just a good excuse to come and join us sometime at twitch.tv/ Phoenix Down Radio and join us for that. Now, where are my giveaways in this again? They disappear every time. I'm trying to find. I was going to get. There it is. All right. So for everybody watching live on the Twitch stream, I'm going to open up a giveaway. For the next couple of minutes, do a exclamation point, pick me, if you would like to be in that. And we will give away one subscription to the show. While that's open, Sarah, how has your lead up to the holiday been?
Not too bad. I actually spent some time at the library working in some of the backroom stuff, preparing programs that go out to the other branches. So mm-hmm. It was nice to have a break from people for a little bit. And for the last few days, I've been down visiting my parents in Southern California. We went to see Coco the other day, the Pixar movie, which sorry I waited that long, but it's absolutely delightful. Like, I think we all ended up crying. Like, good crying.
Oh, wow.
Not like first 5 minutes of up crying, which is also good crying, but in a different way.
Interesting.
But yeah, really well done. And, yeah. Went out and talked.
Coco.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
It'll take a while to get to, I guess.
End of January it releases, January 19th.
Ah, it's quite good. Like, a lot of the cultural elements, they really knocked out of the park. Just in general, it was really, really good.
Okay.
I think we're planning to see Star Wars on Christmas Day, which will be fun.
I've already seen that, so we won't do spoilers, though. But it was, yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, oh, I've seen it already, but my parents haven't. And this is the first year in a while where I actually had enough money to get people Christmas presents, so I'm feeling pretty decent about things.
Okay. I apologize to people watching the stream and those who are going to be watching the video. There was an issue with the stream chat. I had to go back to OBS chat, so now you saw everything just popped up in there. So apologize for that, but we do have chat running again. So wanted to get that out there.
Talk at us. Talk at us.
I was wondering why I wasn't seeing anything in there. It's like, and people are talking. What the hell? Chili, how has your holiday been? I hear you actually get to go to see family this week.
Yeah, I'll be getting to see my sister on Monday. Well, Christmas Day, because I found out she's not working this.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
That is very cool. I'm glad you're able to, because yeah, you're afraid you're going to be spending it alone this year.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be on my own, which was fine because I was going to plan to stream all day.
Okay.
But that's been cancelled now. But yay! Now I can force them all to watch Doctor Who. It's a Christmas tradition.
Excellent.
They force me to go to church. I force them to watch Doctor Who.
Very nice. And Luna, if you want to tell us how your week has been, other than you don't have to go into graphic details.
My week has been shit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that happens.
But no, it's been an up and down cycle. And don't worry about the details, but yeah, people suck.
Yeah. And I mean, holidays can be a really hard time. Like, there's a lot of classic images of, oh, everything's wonderful at Hallmark movie, and it is a really, really hard time of year for a lot of people, especially with all those expectations.
Most definitely.
I'm also stuffing my face right now, so don't mind me.
That's perfectly fine. Also, congratulations to Foteric. You won the Twitch subscription, so congratulations. I'm working on getting that done right now. And while I'm doing that, I might as well talk about my last couple of weeks. And they haven't been bad, other than, you know, working a lot.
Most wonderful time.
I'm not going to go that far, but I had a... it wasn't a bad couple of weeks. We did a lot of work. A lot of things going on, you know, when you're at the end of the year, there's a lot of things you have to kind of close out and make sure that are ready to go. We had a couple of projects that we had to work on, but I suppose the biggest thing that happened was last night, my birthday. I didn't do much special, but I hung out and did a nice stream and had a few people stop by, and that was a lot of fun. So thank you to everybody who stopped by, and I want to thank everybody for all the birthday wishes that I got on Facebook and on Twitter, so thank you very much.
Yeah. Your birthday and my grandpa's birthday are the same day.
Oh, very cool.
Yep.
Just 1 second here.
Always hard for people who have birthdays around the holidays, I suppose.
It is. It definitely is. A lot of people, you end up getting, you know, just one gift. Well, what the heck is going on here? But
and it's harder to throw a party because people are yes. already kind of partied
out.
Oh,
my 21st was probably the worst because most of the time when people were out, you know, at college, you know, everyone had already left for holiday break, so very few people were around. So and unfortunately the friends who were around did not they didn't have too much, so I had to buy all my own drinks on my 21st birthday.
Oh.
Well, I don't do birthday parties. I've never done one, even when I was a kid.
All right, Foteric, your Twitch subscription is now live. Again, congratulations. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
We'll be doing we'll be picking a winner for a Mog Station minion as well towards the end of the show. So stick around if you want to get a minion for the for Final Fantasy 14. Beyond that, let's go ahead and jump into some game and community news. Let's start with Dissidia. There's been a lot of talk about Dissidia the last couple of weeks. Have you guys been keeping up on that?
A little bit.
I actually hadn't.
Okay. Well,
after the beta, I don't know, it just didn't quite grab me, so I had kind of lost track of it.
There were a lot of new trailers that were dropped in the last week. I'm going to go ahead and put them in the Twitch chat. The first one I posted there is the official story trailer for Dissidia Final Fantasy NT. It basically shows, kind of tells a story of what's going on with this particular version of the game. Most of them have to deal around the forces of chaos versus the forces of the cosmos, good versus evil, so to speak. It's slightly different this time. The cinematics are beautiful. Can't wait to actually get to play it because I didn't get in on the first beta.
There's open beta in January.
That's coming up, Chili. You're reading ahead.
Am I? Okay.
Nothing
was said.
The second one I linked in there is the actual opening cinematic for the game. And it is just amazing. If you want to go ahead and click on those, I think it should open it up in a new window. I hope it doesn't take you away from us. If it does, eep, I hate that. But it should open another window. For those listening on the podcast, they will be linked within the show notes. So don't worry, you'll get to see them as well. And now this third one that I'm linking is the launch character roster. So it's going to have a little bit of gameplay for each of the starting characters that are playing in the game. I believe there are 30 characters to start with. If that sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
There's at least one from each game. In most cases, there is a hero and a villain from each game. In a couple of cases, there's only a hero. And in the case of four, there's actually two heroes and one villain. So I don't know how they got so special. They couldn't pick between Kane and Cecil. So why not both?
Who can?
And then, as Chili was alluding to earlier, yes, there is an open beta scheduled for about a week before release of the game. From January 12th through the 21st in North America and the EU, there will be an open beta for Dissidia Final Fantasy NT. So when that goes live, make sure to sign up for that and download the package for it and see if you really like the game. And then it goes live on the 30th of January. Seems like a fun game.
Which will be the same day as patch 4.2, probably.
More than likely, yeah. So that's going to be a busy day. My God, maybe I'll have to put it off.
And Dragon Ball Super games out that day, and Monster Hunter's out that day, I think.
Wow.
It's insane.
That's a busy day. And Dissidia for PC, when? I don't know, Mithrin. They have not specified if they're going to do a port for PC at this point.
I'm going to say whenever they finish the DLC, if they do it, because that's what they seem to do.
It's usually a while after, it seems like. I mean, because
give it a year.
I mean, it's been over a year and we still haven't gotten Final Fantasy 15, but that's supposed to be released next year, I believe, for PC. Yeah,
but it's coming out. So.
Mm-hmm. They have announced it, but we don't know when or the exact date yet, I don't believe. All right, so that kind of covers Dissidia news. I mean, so like I said, it was a really busy day. If you get a chance and want to watch those videos on YouTube, by all means, go check those out. But in 14, we had a live letter last week. We had an extra large live letter. Or was it just live letter 40? Or maybe a little bit of both. Live letter XL. 40.
I actually didn't end up watching any of it, so this is all new news to me.
Oh, I actually did, amazingly.
I read the notes, but lots of interesting stuff in there. Lots of stuff that people are arguing about.
I have to say, I feel sorry for poor Matt, because he was up at 3 a.m. doing all of the putting up all of the translated notes on the official forums.
What's the time right now? Oh, yeah.
That poor guy.
That is his job. He's fine.
I know, but he was like, But I know how he's feeling because I was up at 3 a.m. for a couple of times a couple weeks ago and then this week as well. So it sucks. I feel you, man.
I'm up at 3 a.m. right now.
Yeah, but you didn't have to wake up.
No.
Well, you're going to be going to bed after this, though, so that's nice. He had to work a full day yet.
I will stay up, then.
How long have you been up, Chili? Yeah, I didn't think that was a good idea.
Not that long. I slept last night.
Okay, that's good. So our notes are going to be coming from the official forums, where they've been very good at getting out translated notes for it. So thank you very much, Matt, for putting out all that out, as well as the subreddit did a mega thread for the live letter, which I want to note. They actually gave Chili's PSU article with our interview Yay. Questions credit as source material for some of the questions. So that was very cool.
Also, I can't remember if it was the last podcast or not, but Fantasy 14 supported the Video Game Awards recently.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a trailer of Fantasy 14 because they were supporting the show. And the trailer had my quote on it.
This nice. Game doesn't suck.
Shining recommendation there.
Yeah, so I felt very proud thinking that my review quote was used. Because even linked to PSU, yeah. So.
Would probably most likely recommend to somebody I didn't hate.
If you're bored, maybe buy it.
Or not. It's up to you. Anyway, patch 4.2 has been titled Rise of a New Sun. And the artwork I thought was gorgeous.
Oh, Alpha is so adorable. Yep,
I'm
going
to be posting a link to that in the notes as well. So, and in chat
that,
here.
Could be worse.
Voteric, you're going to win and run, huh? No, enjoy your lunch and come back as soon as you can. We appreciate it. Again, congratulations.
That's up to me.
I did post the Imgur link to the artwork, and Alpha is wearing an Ironworks shirt. And it is so cute.
So cute.
The whole thing is adorable.
We want that as a minion, right?
Barding and a minion. So we can have Alpha and, like, big Alpha.
Giant Alpha. the main scenario is returning to Doma this time. So we did our El Amigo half. Now we're going to turn our eyes back over to Doma. The new dungeon is going to be Hell's Lid. I'm assuming it's going to be probably story-related. I hope it is. But we're also getting...
I hope that... Right. Have one is story related.
Yeah. And then the second one is going to be Fract Continuum Hard Mode.
Oh, boy.
I am looking forward to that one.
I liked Fractal Continuum.
And getting some more peeks into what was going on with the Allegans.
All I know is Allegans. I can't wait to fight that giant Allegan tombstone.
Oh. Could you imagine if we actually had to carry those things around? Of that actual size? Nicknar, I 100% agree with you right there. I cannot wait to hear the remix of the Fractal Continuum theme.
Oh yeah, that'll also be good.
Soken has been so on point with his remixes and just the music in general, but his remixes have been really good. Like when we went back into Great Gooble, oh, that was nice. I love that redo.
That's so good. Maybe we'll get to see like their backroom storage with all the exhibits that weren't on display.
Ooh. The ones that failed.
My lava scorpion exhibit that they didn't put up.
No, Moogle, we're not getting Aurum Veil hard mode.
They have pretty explicitly said that's not going to happen.
It's because that was done in 1.0 software, so they can't really
So yeah, we've got those two dungeons to look forward to, as well as they've given us a new series of trials to start with. The Four Lords. Those of you familiar with Final Fantasy lore, mostly probably going to think of Final Fantasy XI with this. We're getting the four sky gods, basically. Byakko, Seiryu, Suzaku, and Genbu.
You don't know how excited I was.
Though it was something that came from older games as well. I believe Saga had it.
Yeah. The idea of these four deities each being associated with a direction, a season, it goes way back in Chinese mythology.
Correct.
Just for the FF11 connection, I'm amused that we're getting Byakko first, given that he was usually considered the hardest of them.
Oh no, yeah. Luna's dying. Oh,
Luna.
No, Luna, no. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, starting with the Jade Stoa, it's where what the zone is called. Byakko is the first god we're going to face.
I wish it was Genboob.
I mean, why wouldn't it be Genboob? Isn't that the one we always faced first in 11?
Yeah, because he was... Well, the easiest. You didn't really have to fight him in older in 11, did you?
I don't think you did, but I think it was just much easier to get the pop items for Genboob.
So...
Genboob.
No boobs. Genboobs. No Genboobs.
Did someone say boobs?
Boobs. Anyway, Sarah, you were going to say? Did we break you, Sarah?
No, my dad is in the room, and he decided to put on the stream, and there was getting to be some very weird feedback.
Oh, my. Also, hi, Papa Sarah. Hey,
they Papa say Sam. Hi. If you want to listen, you can. Just use headphones or something.
Oh, good stuff.
Anyways, so yeah, there was not a particular order, but for instance, Byakko was much harder to get through, requiring you to go through the Shrine of Ravatau. And in terms of the difficulty of the fight, Genboob had higher defenses. His attack wasn't quite as strong. So for parties that groups that were just getting started, he was tended to be a little bit easier to handle, while Byakko was doing its crazy triple attacks all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it was Seiryu who had the chain spell.
Yep.
I had a red mage friend who ended up soloing a good chunk of them, but Genboob was the first one that he did, and it definitely was the easiest.
I remember the first, it was a Veil, I think, wasn't it? That so the first time.
Is that JP red mage?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved watching his videos.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my friend definitely took some inspiration from his stuff.
That was so much fun to watch him soloing Boon, soloing the gods, soloing, you know, all these different HNMs. It was crazy. And a lot of this was even before the level cap went up.
Yeah.
I think he did a lot of Red Mage Ninja to do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough sidetracking on that. Yep. But I'm looking forward to what the storyline is going to be with the four lords and how that ties in. So everybody who was speculating that those four were on the map for a reason, we were right.
Woo! Let's throw ourselves a party.
So we've confirmed that we get that Sky is confirmed.
So we're going to farm by to higher dates then.
And we have to, you know, we got to go fight off Faust again. Or no. No, it was... No. Who was it? It was...
Wasn't it?
No, I'm trying to... The big doll.
Oh, that was Steve.
Despot.
No. Oh, yeah.
Despot.
Yep.
Yep, so we got a farm Despot to get pop item. No, just kidding. We're not going to bring that type of PTSD, all right?
And then once we farmed all of them, we can spawn Kieran.
We already have Kieran. We ride him.
Kieran too. Kieran.
The electric boogaloo?
I mean, given that it's a thunder pony, although that's also Ixion. Oh my gosh. Why do I... Like, this is what happens. You have a myth that becomes myths shared all over the world. And each one has their own primal. And all of them are copied off of each other.
Even though Kieran was actually a chimera in 11.
Yeah.
Instead of a pony, but oh well.
Yeah, they're a little bit better about actually making unique models for stuff now.
Yep. I mean, we already have enough Chimera mobs, so I don't think we're going to get another one like that. So, continuing on, we're also going to get new Beast Tribe quests with the Ananta this time. Now, they didn't specify if they were going to be fighting quests or if they're going to be crafting quests.
I'm going to say fighting because Gathering is normally the third Beast Tribe.
Who?
It's Gavin's normally the third one. Yeah, the third one in expansion. So.
Yeah, I mean, I the only reason I was, you know, some people were speculating that because they are gemsmiths and goldsmiths, that there might be, you know, have to do with the crafters there.
But
it's more likely going to be disciples of the hand, or not hand, but war and magic.
You could say the same about the first beast tribes, though, as well. Because they like their
They're more collectors than anything.
I didn't quite hear. Who was it that was saying was the third one?
No, there's no third one yet. I'm just saying the third one's normally the crafting one.
Oh yeah, most likely they've usually had the crafting one as the last one they did.
It's going to be the catfish.
If we don't get the dance that we do in Lakshmi, I'm going to be very sad.
Dance or riot?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be the first time.
Yeah, the Moogle says he thinks the crafting Wolf guys will be the crafting one, which makes sense.
The Lupin?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But as you said, I think it'd be the catfish because they like to... like remember that quest where you got to like gather and
get stuff? And they were trying to build up commerce.
Yeah.
So that actually does make sense.
One other point, because I was also thinking about where would they actually have it, but given that the Domain Enclave has been building up in each patch, actually having it as a thing in the Domain Enclave might be a spot for the Lupin to have theirs.
I mean, I'd like to see them as a Beast Tribe as well, because we only got three in Heavensward.
Yeah.
So, I like the rumor that they're the next playable race.
Hmm, interesting.
I'm sure people will be demanding it.
Because they've all got... job-specific equipment already, so...
The wolves?
Yeah.
It'll make that that Halloween gear especially racially insensitive.
Bunny girls are riot. Anyway, right. They're adding in the next tier of Omega, the Sigmascape. We're getting both story and savage modes, but I'm assuming that they're going to wait about 2 weeks for the savage to drop after the story
savage
is done.
Savage will probably drop... the same.
It didn't this last time.
That's because it was the expansion, so they had to make sure everyone was ready.
And it didn't with any addition of Alexander.
Maybe it won't then.
Now, I'm probably overthinking this bit, but like the whole Delta and Sigma, there's actually kind of mathematical relations to this. Delta is a thing that gets used a lot, like when you're indicating a change in something.
Okay.
And sigma is something that shows up in summation, so the adding of many things together.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering if this will at all play into things. Possibly not, but I mean, given that they had any number of Greek letters to choose from, part of me wonders if they did choose those ones for a specific reason.
Go, math nerd Sayre! Woo!
Yeah, this is you're amazing.
I mean, that is actually very interesting. I wasn't necessarily going to dig that deep into it, but now that you mention it, it is kind of cool to see, are they going to use that particular connotation?
Who knows?
At Moogle Quest, you've been drunking, huh? Sorry, I just had to comment on the chat there. Like I said, whether or not they wait 2 weeks, like I said, they had in the past, so I'm going to assume that they're going to do the same. To give people a chance to gear up for it a little bit using Sigmascape story mode to get up to the next tier of gear.
And also it gives people a chance to get introduced to the ideas of the fight.
Yes, exactly. And make sure that everything is balanced and ready to go. And it give them also a chance to tweak things as they need to before they release. Now, this is the thing that I wasn't really... liking about the notes we got. The new tomes are called Mendacity.
That's right, that men.
But Mendacity means untruthfulness. So the tomestone is a lie.
Yeah.
Just like I would have said that differently, but sure.
You know, the cake is a lie. The tomestone is a lie.
Oh, never heard that joke. Serving up the freshest ones.
Shut up, Sayre. Shut up, you mendacity
partner. I would have served it, but I took an arrow to the knee.
Also, if you're going to do that, you should call me mendacious. That's the adjectival form.
Ooh, look at me, I'm Sayre. I'm making up big words.
The boy
that's not made know. Up that's the word.
Couldn't they have come up with a better name? Wouldn't Tombstones
of
Butt of
Steve
been better?
Maybe
they're saving Butt for the next phase. Anyway.
Luna has to go rest. So go rest, Luna. We thank you for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. We do really appreciate you stopping by. I hope you feel better soon, and we appreciate everything. We'll have to get your thoughts on the what got you into Final Fantasy on the next episode.
It's raining mendacity. Hallelujah.
Oh god.
No.
All right. So they're putting in a new feast map, which is going to be based off of the Crystal Tower. That looked kind of cool. Did you guys get see pictures of that at all in the threads?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I should probably.
But it's the feast, so I don't care too much.
You might play it just to see it.
No.
Also, for everybody watching in Twitch, I did just post a link to the official forums for the Letter of Producer update thread, so you can follow along with some of the stuff you'd like to as well. Should have done that earlier. My bad. And for those listening on the podcast, we will have it in the show notes as well. They are going to be making a bunch of changes to the feast. They're shortening the length of matches from 8 minutes to 6 minutes. I remember that. They're going to be limiting the amount of medals that you can carry depending on your job. So tanks can carry up to 200 medals. Melee DPS can go up to 175. Range DPS 150 and healers 125. And if you have less than your starting number of medals, you will get a new status called light medal, where you will take less damage than normal, which is kind of cool.
So a little bit of a balancing mechanic there, it sounds like.
Yes. So, I mean, they're hoping to really balance out how all this works.
So what you're saying is you have the healer die a couple of times, lose the medals, so they start taking less damage, and then have the other people hold the medals.
Well, your tank can only hold 200, so...
Yeah, but if you stop the other people from collecting them.
Yeah, but I like how they did this, though, because they made sure that your tank actually has to be the one to hold the most of the medals and get them up on the front lines. So that way, it's hoping to make some better back-and-forth matches.
Back-and-forth, and one medal forward.
As long as we're hitting these jokes at the peak of their popularity.
Oh, quiet. All right, so we've got...
Like the peak of a cake?
They're also adding in team-ranked matches for the feast, so you can have a team of up to 4 to 6 people. It's kind of nice they're allowing for subs. So if not everybody can make it at a certain time, you can sub in 1 or 2 other people to help out. And these teams can be cross-server as well. So... I don't do much feast, but it sounds like they're really trying to do things to really push it a lot more. So I hope that it works out well. They're going to be adding the new housing wards, as well as they're making updates to how the housing purchase policy works.
Always they are being very tight-lipped on the specifics.
Because they probably haven't fully figured them out yet.
Well, also, if people know what it is, then they have time to try to figure out how to circumvent them.
Yes, so...
Well, we do know that they're not releasing all the houses on patch day, so I think that's one of the things I do. I think they're probably just going to roll out every couple of weeks.
Which I can see that, because you don't want to create all these servers and then not have them needed. See what the demand is, and if a server fills up, then add some more at that time. If they don't need it, then they don't get any more. Some other things that they're adding, some various crafting updates, like new yellow script items. There's going to be an experience update while leveling, which will be very nice, because I'm still leveling up my crafters. By the way, if you are leveling up your crafters, the quests with, Minago and, Zloey are very good for experience.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, though the amount of experience you get from that is pretty staggering.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now on a level 63 character, I was getting almost 900K per turn in. So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
As well as getting red scripts and a little bit of gil. And then they're also adding in new free company crafting for submarines. Yay.
Yep.
Yay, I can't wait.
I really don't know how I feel about it.
It was something we kind of expected, given the whole Heavensward focus on the flight, and they had airships to explore that, and then having words.
Yeah.
My brain is failing me. Then with this one focusing on a lot of the swimming and water content, submersibles was a pretty foreseeable one.
But I guess my concern is if we're going to have to rebuild brand new submarines, that's going to get to be very, very crappy. For a lot of free companies, if they allow us to retrofit our existing airships, I think that would be even better.
I mean, I would expect
different slots.
Yeah, I would expect that they're either going to have it so you have some number of slots that can be used for airships or submarines, or that they would just have separate things. Retrofitting them, I can't really see, honestly. Because then that does make it so, like, three companies that have been at this for a long time will have this huge advantage going in.
Well, they're already going to have the advantage because they're going to have a number of crafters that are going to be able to do it from day one and get everything going right away. The smaller companies are going to have more difficulty doing it.
They'll still have to find all the ingredients to craft, gather them, or buy them, and then craft it. They've still got a window which they still have to take time.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if that's why they're pushing Eureka back to 4.25.
Well, no, they said that it's because they're planning to push the content out over time instead of just on patch day. So there's this lull.
True, but I'm just, like I said, what my concern is, you know, is it just going to give us time to build up our submarines, or are they, you know, just still not quite ready with it?
Probably still not quite ready.
Or both.
I think it's just servers they're not ready for it. It might just be waiting for this, yeah. Because we're getting an IM increase, aren't we?
Yep, and we're talking about that in just a bit.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I think for the Eureka being delayed. Because last time they did the item increase, it caused the servers to have issues.
Okay, so make sure that everything is nice and stable before they bring out this new content.
Yeah, okay. That'd be smart, in my opinion.
All right, they're going to also.
I could be completely wrong, but yeah,
we'll see. They're also doing some various job adjustments. They didn't get any specifics yet, but we're going to see that in the next live letter in a couple of weeks.
From what I heard, Warrior might be getting a nerf.
They don't nerf much, though. Usually things get buffed.
They were talking about the job changes. Yoshi coughed and talked about Warrior. So,
Well, let's see what they come up with. So. They're adding in a new Perform UI, which is going to be more piano based, with some new instruments to add as well. I can't wait for that.
Which I guess is the piano.
And a couple others. They said they're adding 3.
No, I'm just saying. I guess there will be a. Piano.
Yeah, but
how are you going to carry one of those around?
On your back.
Put it in your back.
They make these things called small keyboards.
Well, yes, but do they make them at the tech level Aorzea is at?
They're cerulean powered.
Well, in that case, why don't you just say keyboards. That we're going to get Magitek theremins.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes.
Well, because a theremin is slightly different. Theremin is an instrument that's played by, you know, with like a wand and
stick. If we're going to say, oh, well, we'll just have this thing and the miniature and yada, yada, it's like you could just say they'll do theremins or something.
You know what I still want? And I'm going to say this until we get it because we'll never get them. Ancient Allegant ADS headphones.
Oh, God.
Didn't you talk about that in the last podcast, too?
Yes, I'm going to always bring it up if we're going to have...
We'll get it as soon as we get crafting available from our retainers' inventories.
Speaking of things that just will not die.
That's the point.
I'm aware.
How do you carry everything in your arm? As Genesis said, how do you carry everything in your arm? You just end 999 items.
The Allegans.
Allegan magic bag.
They're bags of holding.
Acceptable breaks from reality.
All right. They're adding in the duty recorder function. Now, this was actually very cool looking.
That was a big surprise. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The biggest thing with this one is you're limited to 3 recordings on your character. So if you want to make a new recording, you're going to have to get rid of one.
I mean, given what's involved with them, it sounds like a pretty intense thing.
Yes. Basically, what goes on is everybody in your party has to agree to be recorded first, which is very good. There's no surprise recordings, but I can see this being very useful with static raids and progression and things like that, as well as for the content creators like Happy and MizTech and Xeno.
And
so for the people who are listening who may not know, why don't we tell them what a duty recorder is?
So basically what the duty recorder does is it not only records what you are doing within a battle, it records what everybody in your party is doing. So it's giving their positional information, the boss positional information, damage going in, damage coming out, and you can switch to whatever point of view of anybody in your party, including the boss, I believe.
So, man, that sounds like some sort of, you know, tracker. that tracks DPS.
I don't think they're going to show you the DPS, but I mean, it's showing you what's happening, like who's standing in the crap, you know, who didn't dodge this mechanic, you know, who didn't, you know, I don't know if it's going to show misses or anything like that, but
why that wipe happened.
Yeah, so it's going to be an opportunity for people to really dig into a specific duty. I said duty. And see what worked, what didn't work, and where they can improve.
And why Chili is in the corner dancing.
Because that's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what I do, West High. They know that.
Oh. Yes.
I question every part of this strategy.
Hey, well, don't question if it works.
Does it work?
Well, we've cleared 03S, and we're working on 04S.
Okay.
So, yes, it works.
We would have also accepted, I don't see how that's relevant.
All right. Then the inventory adjustments like Chili was talking about, our stacks are going to go to 999. So all of you hoarders, rejoice, Chili.
We're going to see people listing stuff of 999 items on the market boards and then being very confused as to why they're not moving that fast.
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky thing at this point, is trying to sell massive stacks like that. It's going to be very difficult. I'm hoping that they limit that portion of it to only 99 again.
But guys, I've got a thing. It's okay. It's okay because we're still limited to one map.
You're not wrong. We can only carry one map yet.
Well, like, you know, they, like, the ink wears off if it touches another map.
Don't cross the map streams.
Sure.
We are also getting glamour books or a something similar. We are getting a glamour toilet. I mean, commode. I mean, toilet. Like,
that word has other meanings.
Is it like a little cupboard wardrobe thing?
Yes. Yeah. There is another meaning for commode, but the one that most people are aware of is water closet.
I can't help it if most people are wrong.
It is a meaning for it, though.
I stand by my ridiculous statement.
Yeah, flush all your glamours down the drain.
So yeah, this one is not, it's not a replacement for the glamour system. It's an addition into it where items can be permanently converted into stuff used within the commode, and you can assemble, complete outfits, which are then glamoured as a single item.
Correct. You can have up to 200 items converted into glamours, and then you can have up to 10 glamour sets.
Now, of course, with all this, you can also glamour individual items as normal.
Yes.
One thing that I've seen people discussing that I am very excited about is the fact that this does seem to finally enable being able to have job-specific glamours.
Yep. That makes me so happy.
Yes, I can glamour my warrior armor to look like one thing, and then when I'm on paladin, just pop a different costume over it.
Yes. I'm not sure if you're going to have to make the change every time, but what's nice about this whole system is if it only takes one glamour crystal, then it's only one glamour crystal, and the fact that all glamour crystals are now going to be the same.
My monk can be a piggy, and my samurai can be a chocobo.
So you can just carry around a stack of 999 glamour prisms,
yes,
and you'll be good.
For a very long time. But yeah, they do say that depending on how the system works, they will probably be adding more down the road. They want to make sure everything works for right now. The stipulation they're adding to this as well is it has to be in your in-room to start, in order to add things to the commode.
Yeah, I'm guessing they do not want to try to start kicking the server load up too much too quickly.
Now, does that include housing, though?
No, you have to be in an in-room.
For now.
They're adding this in there so they can see what type of impact it has on the servers.
And restricting
it going on to a smaller space, just these spots where that happens, does help minimize the load while they see what sort of thing it's doing.
Correct.
They don't want to crash the entire server in the midst of testing it.
I want to ask that, how many people actually still use in rooms?
Well, this is going to give us a reason to use the in room.
Also, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, I mean, if a free company doesn't have a journal, you know, the replay journal thingy.
True.
You know, you can go to an in-room and replay your cutscenes.
Yep. Also, sometimes they are just conveniently close.
Yep. And he just likes to doze off in their beds.
I miss when you can wake up.
Yeah, it's such a cute way to log out.
Right, when you used to get nightmares in 1.0.
Yep.
And then the other thing that they talked about for inventory adjustments is they're adding in chocobo saddlebags. And no, we're not talking about Sarah's mom here.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
But just like Sarah's mom, you gotta do quests for her. Wait, what?
She fortunately is not watching this.
I'm totally kidding.
My dad is not listening at this point. That's what gotten awkward, guys.
I forgot about that when I said it.
Wait,
don't ask that.
I wonder if we have to do quests like Govy bags.
I don't know. Maybe a small quest, but the thing with chocobo saddlebags is basically it's going to be 70 additional slots that you will not be able to use the items from. You're going to have to remove them before you utilize them.
We will have to do quests for every five items.
God, no.
Those days are over now.
Also, I just noted I still have Breaking Brick Mountain quest line.
All right. And like I mentioned earlier, they did push back Eureka to 4.25 for whatever
and
reason.
And there was much grousing.
And then we had sadness.
Yes. And then the last thing that they announced was probably the thing that everybody was most excited about. FanFest!
Woo!
So they've given dates for Vegas and Tokyo. The Vegas Fan Fest will be taking place November 15th through the 17th at the Rio in Vegas.
That was where they had the first one. Several people I know said it was better than at Paris.
I would be shocked if we were just banned from Paris.
That's probably not, you know, I don't know.
Why? I think they're both owned by the same company.
They are. They're both Caesars, I believe.
Also,
Total Rewards.
Game-related conventions tend to be relatively pleasant. Like,
I'm betting
compared to some of the other ones.
I'm thinking what ended up happening is maybe they were doing some renovations at the Rio, and it, based off of the 2014 data they got, there wasn't enough room for everybody, so they went to a bigger venue, and now there's a larger venue available yet that can accommodate the amount of people that we had in those small spaces.
Or maybe they're going to sell less tickets.
Like, that's going to happen.
No, they're going to try and sell more. I would bet you it's going to go over 5,000 if they can.
It's over 9,000!
I don't think they're going to go that big.
I don't know if we want to pack that many people into that space.
Rio, they do have their own convention area in the back, so I'm wondering if maybe that's an expanded thing that they've worked on, or maybe that they've gotten a larger portion of it, because I noticed it's also a month later than it was 2 years ago, or last year, actually, technically. It's in November instead of October.
Which is nice, getting more money to save up.
But I'm hoping that the flights aren't more expensive because of holiday. I mean, that's pretty close to Thanksgiving.
I guess, but international flights shouldn't be changed because we don't really celebrate.
But you're going into an area that does? I don't know.
That's not the way the pricing works.
Okay. Well, anyway, so it's going to be back at the Rio. Like I said, hopefully it'll be able to accommodate the amount of people there. Because, yeah, the Paris was very difficult to maneuver around in when we were between events or waiting for something to start up, because those hallways were not very big.
No.
And when you've got, you know, 5,000 people standing around idly waiting for the event to open up, yeah, you're going to cause some, areas of congestion.
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to feel like charming, twisting Paris streets and whatnot.
Yep. So it maybe just didn't quite suit the needs for that many people. Tokyo is going to be March 23rd and 24th, 2019, and Paris they've announced as early 2019. They probably have not quite yet worked out details with a venue.
I would be deeply surprised if they hadn't at least started on that event of this scale.
Oh, they're working on it. They just haven't. They just probably haven't got it fully hashed out. I've heard that that's a normal thing with EU countries, that it takes a little bit longer to hash out all the details.
Okay, I could see that.
I'm going to guess February, though.
Or January. That'd be directly in the middle. If they go, like, January...
No, because they've got, like, their patch notes and stuff like January, so I'm thinking mid-Feb.
It depends on what's coming out, so we'll see.
Hey, I'm just still pissed at America's first.
A lot of other people are, because they feel the later ones get the better announcements.
Yeah, I kind of feel that, but yeah. It also seems to be the time that works the best for a lot of people, I think, so.
Yeah. That's not, like, any selection is going to make some set of people all happy or unhappy.
I just realized, wasn't last time, there's a big gap this time, actually, between America and Japan, because last time it was Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tokyo was the middle one last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were prepping up for Tokyo Fan Fest at this time last year.
Yeah. On December 25th.
24th and 25th, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they pushed that one back to the last one, so they get the good announcements. The other things that we saw for patch 4.2, we did get a main scenario preview. Sarah, you want to read this one?
Sure. Let me go ahead and pull that up there. So, thanks to the Warrior of Light's heroic deeds and Raoban's long-awaited return, Al Amigo continues its steady march towards recovery. Yet there is no rest for the scions of the Seventh Dawn, for the winds of trouble are blowing from the far east, where an unexpected spark threatens to set the kindling of chaos ablaze. Can Doma survive the brewing firestorm to welcome the light of the new day?
And I posted a link to the Lodestone page for that, so you can see a couple of pictures that they posted of that. And
it's enticing, but no details beyond that.
No, that's what these teasers are. They're just ways to wet our whistles, so to speak, and see if we can get going to that. They also released a Four Lords side quest preview, where we're starting with the Jade Stoa and Byakko. Legend tells of a peerless samurai who, at the behest of a king, ventured forth to drive a host of Oni into the sea. Yet for all his strength, Tenzen could not do this alone, so he turned to the Four Lords, greatest of the auspices, for assistance. Together they succeeded, and afterwards journeyed west, far from the realms of men, to live out their days in solitude. A fairy tale, perhaps, but often in such tales a kernel of truth can be found. And there's a link to that one in the show as well. And then the final piece of news that we got was they are going to be recommencing automatic housing demolition starting with patch 4.2. They believe everything is stabilized for people, and they're going to go ahead and allow for houses to be automatically demolished for the users who are not utilizing them, which I can understand, because we want to free up those houses for people who deserve to have them.
The exact date and time will be announced later, but... end of January.
Well, yeah, we're assuming the 30th. We'll see how close we are. All right, so that was the Final Fantasy news. Hope you guys enjoyed that. If you didn't get a chance to read watch the live letter last week, or read up on any of that, we went through a relatively quick and dirty on that. So, we don't have, like I said, we're going to have a discussion topic on mental health stuff. But at first, I wanted to talk a little bit about the party that we had just before the show tonight. So for those of you who are still here from the party, I hope you guys had a great time. This was our first time hosting an event like this. Now that we have this beautiful house to do that in, I hope that we were able to utilize it. And I hope you guys had fun joining us. Sarah and Chili, you guys were awesome co-hosts for that, so I thank you very much for helping me with that.
I had a lot of fun, so thank you.
Like I said,
was good times.
Yep, we had a really nice turnout, and I want to congratulate all the winners of the different minions and the mounts and orchestrion rolls that we gave away. Had some really fun games, and it was a good time. So, again, thank you for that, and if you guys liked that, let us know. took an opportunity to take some screenshots. I posted one of them out on our Twitter. Chili posted one as well. So if you've got some of those that you want to post, you can post them out on Twitter or email them to us at podcast@phoenixdownradio.com and we'll post them for you. So we can get those out there and make sure you guys, you know, see if you had a good time. And like I said, if you did, we'll maybe do more of these in the future. Now for our discussion topic, I had asked one of our listeners to if they wanted to chime in on this, and I'm going to go ahead and bring them into the show channel here so they can join us. Make sure he can talk here. Can you hear us there, Mithrin? Are you there? Oh, he got muted again. Let's unmute him. No, he should be good. Oh, he doesn't have... I thought I disabled you requiring push to talk.
Yeah, it shouldn't be required, but you might have to change the settings on your side.
I probably do, and I have... God,
no, I mean, like, even on the user side.
No, I might have to make the change in the permissions here.
It might not have to push to talk because he's using the web app, maybe?
Possibly.
But yeah, I certainly don't use push to talk on this. But yeah, it's just listed as muted. That's strange.
Yeah, because I unmuted them.
Same as me.
I'm looking at the different permissions. I apologize for those of you listening on the podcast. This is not good. Oh, here we go. Let's do that. Save. Now you should be all allowed to...
There we go.
There we got it.
There we
got
it.
I fixed the thing. Huzzah.
Yay.
Welcome to the show, Myth, and we appreciate you're willing to join us here.
Yeah, love to be here. Love the show.
All right. And you've emailed us a lot, and we get you a lot in some of my my weekly streams. So like I said, it's nice to have you actually joining us for a live show. I know because most of the time you catch us on the podcast.
Yeah, I really like listening to it on the podcast, but I thought I'd stay for this show because, you know, it's Christmas and we had a really good party and everyone that came was it was just a really good time.
Yep. Well, thank you. I'm glad you guys had fun. But the subject we're going to kind of talk about, I've been discussing it a little bit in some of my weekly streams this week. A lot of people this time of year really have a hard time dealing with certain things. Like the holidays get to be a very tough time, and things like depression and anxiety and stuff like that really show up, and people have a hard, don't know how to deal with it. People think, oh, they're just having a bad day. They'll snap out of it, or that, you know, they're just grumpy or whatever. But sometimes we don't always have a choice as to how we're feeling at that moment. And I thought that because it is the holidays, I would really like to bring this to the forefront and let people know that, you know what, it's all right to have a bad day. And that, you know,
well, it's a lot more than just having a bad day is the big thing.
It's all right to feel the way you feel. How's that?
Yeah. Like, oftentimes the holidays are especially bad for it because so often a lot of the stuff that makes managing depression and getting through it worse is there's this whole idea of like there's this expectation. A lot of it's about those expectations that you're supposed to be feeling better, that you're supposed to be happy, that it's supposed to be yada yada yada. You may feel this way, other people may be trying to enforce that view on you, and it's just all of that, all of those feelings. And feeling like, hey, stuff isn't okay, but when you try to talk to people about it, oftentimes it's just kind of looking for an acknowledgement of that feeling, that this is what's going on. And so many people try so hard to kind of paper over it, to encourage them to not feel that way, instead of just saying, this is what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to fully admit it. I've had some really bad days this last week or so. A lot of it gets, you know, I get triggers, things like financial reasons. Just this time of year affects me worse because of just my upbringing. For those of you who don't know, I am adopted. I was in a closed adoption, so I had no idea about my family. And up until a few years ago, I had no idea where any of them were or anything about them. So I would spend a lot of my holidays feeling very alone, even though I had an adoptive family, just because I didn't know anything about my roots, my genes, you know, anything of my personal history. So I really suffer badly through seasonal affective disorder this time of year because A, it's a time for families and those types of traditions. It's my birthday. And it just a reminder of all of that. And it's been very tough for me. And this week when I was joining Moogle Go Round, I'll clue you guys in on what happened. I had to leave the stream because I was having a panic attack and I was unable to get out of that mood and I was not able to contribute. So I was like, I'm sorry, but I have to leave. And I recognized that before I got into a destructive part of my panic attack.
Yeah. Man, I get those a lot. I know what you feel.
So, and I feel guilty when things like that happen because, A, it disrupts what we're trying to do. You know, we were trying to, you know, create this really fun episode. And I hope you guys have enjoyed what they were able to put out for it. But the fact that I couldn't fully contribute to that made me feel bad, even though I've been told many times that I don't have to. You know what I mean?
I'd like to actually hear a little bit about like your thoughts and experiences on this as well.
Well, I mean, we all have our own stories and our own paths that we've went through. Thankfully, I don't think I've went through nearly as bad as what some of you have went through, but I think that, you know, at this time of the year, like Claude said, it can definitely be, you know, seasonal depression disorder can definitely be a thing. And I think a lot of that comes to down to not getting enough sunlight, because at this time of the year, the sun disappears a lot and we don't get as much. And that contributes a lot to vitamin D deficiency that everybody already has. Like even people that are living on the equator right now in the middle of Africa or Brazil, like even those people are deficient in vitamin D. It's just impossible to get enough without proper supplementation. So that's definitely one thing that people can look at to help improving any kind of depression or sad moods, no matter what you're going through. Because every little bit can really help brighten your mood, I think. Yeah.
Though I will say, even with that, some people, a lot of their issues are just more than just a deficiency of a vitamin or something like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, the brain is an amazing and terrible thing at the same time. It's, you know, allows us to do so many amazing things, yet it also allows us to kind of trap ourselves within our own self.
Definitely. And getting trapped like that can be very destructive in a lot of ways. It can really make yourself feel, I think, like Sarah spoke a little bit earlier on the pre-show, where you can get into this feeling of hopelessness and make it feel like that you have no way out and that you have no way to move forward from that position. And I guess for some people, they can definitely be in that kind of situation. But I don't know. I'm still a firm believer to always have hope and always keep pushing forward. But, you know, some people do go through really, really tough times and I think the best thing that you can do is always tell yourself that while things could always get worse, that things can always get better too. And if you keep looking forward to a brighter future that you try to make yourself, then I think things will be better for not only yourself, but people around you.
I'll agree with to that a little bit, though. Some of what happens is it's not necessarily because something bad is happening. It's just that you're having a difficult time processing what's happening. And you don't know what to do. I think at that point, it's good to have a good support network of friends, family, people around you that understand, you know, what your situation is, what you're going through, and are able to recognize what's going on and maybe help you to understand a little bit better and kind of just be there as a support net. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Having someone to have your back can be an extremely beneficial thing for a whole variety of reasons. And I can't imagine trying to go through what you're going through, Klaus, like that without having that many people to support you. It just seems like it would be really difficult.
Yeah, most of my support network is... I don't have much of a support net right around me. Most of it is going to be either available via text or phone, or I would have to, you know, go visit them, or they'd have to visit me. Like I said, I live alone, but I mean, I do have family that's not far away, fortunately. So I mean, it's not like I'm alone, but I don't have like immediate family and friends right here with me. So it does make things kind of difficult. And I'm going to say this, and it's going to kind of sound bad, but it allows me to kind of hide my issues. A lot of people, and that's something that some people are too good at. That's hiding their problems and making it seem like everything is okay when it's really not, and things are boiling deep down inside until they hit that point where they just cannot be contained anymore. And that's where I have a problem.
One thing I want to add on that is, in a lot of resources I've seen, like, oftentimes trying to talk directly to someone and say, like, hey, this is a thing, you should get help, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I've often seen better results, like, reaching out to people to say, hey, like, look at your friends, like, just be aware of what's going on with them. Oftentimes you get, like, better results just, like, if it's someone who is a friend, who is a close friend that you feel like you can talk to, again, because you're saying, hey, you feel like you have to hide it. You don't want to ruin other people's days. There's this feeling of that. And so oftentimes it's something where if you're trying to be a friend for someone, just keeping an eye out for them, asking them if they're okay, not necessarily trying to push them, but just checking in from time to time.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's hard to tell somebody to cheer up.
Yeah.
It's you know, telling somebody that they need to do something or they need to seek help.
It's like, I freaking know that.
But I don't know how. Or
yeah, it's like,
or they don't recognize that in themselves, and they just think it's something else too, which is definitely a thing as well, which it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, like,
sorry, go ahead.
Like, it's easy to say, oh, you should just do such and such. It's like, yes, that is what I would like to do. It's like, I am aware that this is the thing, but it's a lot harder than just, like, suddenly decide, I will decide to feel different. It doesn't actually work that way.
And I think when you're in those situations, you often lose a lot of motivation to do those things to begin with. Mm-hmm. And getting that motivation is incredibly difficult while you're under that amount of distress. And I think Claus mentioned earlier that he was going through a panic attack in his situation. And when you have those kind of panic attacks, especially on a chronic level, it can definitely make you feel defeated. It can make you feel like you don't have the strength and energy to go out and get the motivation necessary
hashtag
to do the things
charity,
that improve
hashtag
your lifestyle.
Mental health
so
awareness.
I can definitely sympathize with those kind of people going and struggling with that kind of thing, because I, you know, have a lot of my own issues that to struggle with like that too. But,
yeah,
I'm
actually reminded of a friend of mine who does like crisis support hotline and other things like that, who told me about an interesting, like, did a little interesting experiment with me once. We were sitting around at her cottage, just like chatting about things, and she told me to take a look around. I would have 30 seconds, and I invite listeners to try this experiment as well. I'm not going to wait the full 30 seconds, but take a look around the space you're in and think of how many different ways you could come up with to kill yourself using just what happened to be around you. And took a few, looked around. I'm sure people are thinking for a moment. In my case, I came up with something around like 6 or 7 different ways using things like breaking off electrical wires from appliances, shattering glass to use to cut things, all sorts of other stuff like that. Yeah. And then what she told me is that the people who are in like the acute stages of crisis, they struggle to come up with one. Something that seems as simple as that. How do you kill yourself? They struggle to come up with one. Because when you're in that crisis state, just like every single bit of energy, of creative, whatever, it's all been sapped.
Yep, for sure.
You just don't know what to do.
Yeah. And so it's kind of when people are talking about like, oh, hey, putting up a barrier on a bridge to prevent suicide attempts. So people say like, oh, no, it's like, oh, that'll never work. They'll just climb over it. Even the smallest barrier actually does make it stop. The people who are in that crisis state, they don't have the creativity to think around even minor setbacks to it. And it's kind of weird. It's something that a lot of people I've talked to about this are shocked at the idea of being kind of that sapped, that drained, that in that position.
That center of the brain shuts off completely. All of the blood goes away from the logic centers of your brain and ends up going into crisis mode. And during those situations, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that there's no creativity available for you.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those times when, you know, I've been recognizing it in myself, in some of my friends, and in people that I see just on the street. You can kind of start to see some of the things, especially when you recognize it in yourself, you start to recognize it in other people. And it's one of those times of year when you just need to realize that, you know what, we're all people. We all need a little help. Right. So,
yeah, you know. I remember for me, one of the big things that happened was, recently having a friend talk to me, say like, hey, like, you feel like it sounds like you're kind of stressed and sad all the time. I can't remember the last time. It's like the last time I saw you acting like this was months ago. And just like, not even saying this is what you should do or like, and it means this, but just saying, hey, I saw this about you. I'm worried.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is it you can do to help? Or what were you going to say, Sarah?
I'll go ahead and disclose that I myself was recently diagnosed with major depressive disorder, for which I am actually now taking medication, which has done a lot to help. I am still working on therapy and the like, because the medication doesn't fix the problem. It more gives me a space in which things are a little bit calmer where I can start working on it. But so, I mean, I think a lot of people would be surprised at just how many people in their lives have been fighting against that or have been living with it and just don't always like to talk about it.
Now, I am going to say, before we get into a major discussion about, you know, how to handle depression, it's one of those things, like I said, the brain is a very, very complex organ. And
neurotransmitters doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
So there, I don't think that there's really one right way to deal with something like this. I mean, I'm definitely not, you know, the person who has any type of power to talk about any of this. I'm not a licensed therapist. I am not a doctor. I'm none of this stuff. This is just my personal opinion dealing with my issue. So I'm just making sure to say that, you know,
and,
go ahead.
Also, we'll want to include, there are a lot of resources out there for people who maybe don't have as access to much, who maybe don't have insurance, who don't know where to get started on this. There are a lot of resources out there that we'll be sure to talk about as well.
Yes. But anyway, what I was going to say, you know, I don't think that there is necessarily one right way to deal with it. But there is maybe a right way for you. So maybe, you know, start by talking with friends, and come to, you know, realize that maybe if you do have an issue, come to the realization that you do have that issue. There's nothing wrong with having, a mental, illness. There is no stigma. We want to break that stigma. I mean, it's not there. It's a construct that doesn't exist anymore.
We're
trying to break that stigma is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Like, that stigma absolutely does still exist. Yeah. Like, it's unfortunate. People do avoid getting help for it because of it, but that is still a thing that exists. It's still something that people unfortunately, have to think seriously about. Like, I'm okay with disclosing it to you guys, but there are some things, like at my workplace, where I would think long and hard before I started bringing it up. It's unfortunate, but it is a reality of it. And if it's something where you find that there are safe people to talk to, then sure, like, absolutely, talking with other people about it does help. But it is something where you are exposing yourself. That is an actual real thing that people do often have to worry about. I'm sorry, I wish it wasn't that way, but I can't tell you that it isn't.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I'm trying to say we need to break the stigma of mental health illness, because it's a sickness. It's an issue just like any other physical issue. It's something that people need help with.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly is a thing where you get a lot more, like, if someone's breaks their leg, they have a cast or the crutches or some type of upper movement aid, that's not something that gets questioned as much. People don't say, have you tried just like powering through the pain, or why are you doing all this unnatural stuff? But mental health gets treated really differently. And I, even if it's not something we can change right now, at the very least, recognizing that, no, people are being dumb about this is something where people are often a little bit hypocritical, a little bit unreasonable, that you are not unreasonable for feeling that, if you feel, hey, they're kind of being jerks, and like, that's not unreasonable. They actually are being jerks. You are not going nuts here.
For those on Twitch, I just posted a phone number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, as well as the website for that. It's
absolutely
not
great
just for suicide, but I mean, if you just feel like you're in crisis, there are people to talk with.
They are.
Sorry, go ahead.
They're a really, really useful resource to use, especially if you're going through panic attacks. I have called them a number of times, and they're 24/7. You can use them at any time of the day. I don't know if they're there like during holidays like Christmas, but
oh yeah, they're there during holidays.
I would imagine they were
holidays.
Yeah, I figured they would get more calls at that time, but I have definitely used them myself, and I can vouch that they are. If you need help, you use them, and they're free. You don't have to charge anything. Like it's a great legit resource.
It's free and confidential, so you don't have to worry about that. If you are worried about people learning about that, it is confidential. There is patient doctor privilege there. So
this is something that absolutely gets discussed in the field, the need for confidentiality, because again, there is stigma in a lot of communities, and this is something they understand. They will talk with you about what they will keep confidential, what all that. Like, this is something that if you have questions out, they will absolutely answer. Yep. They also will help you with getting connected to resources in your area. I know that in the United States, every county has a mental health hotline that it's not quite the same as the suicide one. It does not like open 24/7 kind of thing, I think. But if you contact it, they will help give you information about finding mental health resources in your area. So if you're looking for something more local, looking to start therapy or psychiatry or something like that, there is that resource available for that.
Yep, they can give you ways to contact like a hospital or if there's like free support for something like that that's available to you, they'll help you find that. Also, depending on what you have for insurance, if you have it through like a employee provided, or if you're buying your own, look into them as well, because a lot of that stuff is covered within your insurance as well.
So a couple other things to add on that. Some people do not have insurance. They can't afford it. There's other things going on. There are therapy resources available that work on a sliding scale, where the amount that's charged is based on how much you're making, how much you can afford to pay. This can go all the way down to zero in some cases. For those who worry about, I'm just going to go to a place and expect it to cry on someone's shoulder, a good therapist will work with you to talk about what is it that you want to get out of this. They're not just a place where you necessarily go and sit on a couch and talk about how much you hate your mother or whatever. A good therapist will actually talk with you and work with you about what is it that you hope to get out of this. When will you know that you're ready to leave therapy? That was something that my therapist, that was one of the first things we talked about. Not a you're going to be in this forever, but a when will you know that you're ready to, that you don't need it anymore? Go ahead.
I was just wanted to add while we were still talking about therapists is that you should, if you are going to work with one and try to find one, then you should find one that works best for you, because there's a bunch of different types of therapists that one may work well for some guy, but it may not work well with you. And I can speak from experience. I have to kind of look for different ones that are on my insurance, a particular insurance, to help me find one that makes a good fit for me. And I was actually able to find one in my local area that's just like, she is absolutely perfect for me and my needs. But when you go see one that isn't clicking well with you, you'll know it. Like, you'll feel it. You won't feel a connection with this person. And I would say, don't try to pursue that therapist if it's not working for you, because it's just you're going to be spinning your tires. It's not going to be getting you much good.
And if they are any good as a therapist, they are going to understand if, hey, it's just not clicking, I'm just not feeling this, I not quite feel this, they're not going to take it personally. They know that sometimes it just doesn't work that way, and they're not going to be upset about that. You don't have to worry about, they're going to be offended and hurt if I don't tell them. They want you to find the resource that's right for you. And if that means that you're telling them, hey, this isn't quite working, do you have referrals for any others? They will provide that. If they don't, they are not a good therapist, because every therapist I know of, the ones I've talked to about how their practice works and like, this is a thing that's common throughout that. think it's good to shatter some of those common misconceptions, because I've known so many people who want to get help but are so afraid of a lot of these things that they're worried that something will happen, and they avoid getting help for that reason. It's always painful.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely need to find one that's good for you, and you know, like just like you said, don't be afraid to offend them. They're actually trained in helping diagnosing you with your problems about a variety of different things, but also they can help you understand what's good for you. Like they'll help you understand why they weren't a good fit for you and what you're looking for, and they can probably get you the resources you need to get someone that's a better fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Sarah said, if they can't do that, then they're probably not worth the money of seeing anyway.
Yeah.
Very true.
Like, this is something that a good therapist should be able to do. If they are actually getting discombobulated about, oh, you don't want to see me anymore, they're probably not actually a good one.
Chili, you've been kind of quiet. Do you have anything to add to this?
I don't really think there's much I could add to this topic.
Okay, that's fine. I just want, you know.
No, and that's fine. Like, sometimes the best thing you can do is just to be around, be supportive, be able to listen. Like, again, for myself, when I've been in the throes of it, and for so many other people that I've helped out, just being someone who can just stop and listen and really hear what they're saying, not necessarily try to solve the problem. For a lot of people, it's like, on some level, if I'm having this problem, on some level, I know how I could solve it. But what I need is to not feel so overwhelmed, and having someone who will genuinely listen and just recognize how I'm feeling and help me feel that, yeah, it's understandable that I feel that way. That was the thing that I needed most, and that was the thing that helped me get going again. So being someone who can just sit and listen and be there, that's something really valuable too.
Yeah, growing up, when I was in high school, I would often have a lot of friends that would struggle with these kind of issues too. And the thing that I would always say is I may not know what to say to you. I may not know how to help, but I can always be there and listen.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all somebody needs is an ear to listen to their issues.
Yep.
And like Claude said, having a community, a tribe of people that got your back is definitely one of the best things you can have for you. In anything, not just mental health, but for physical health as well, and just a variety of different reasons, having a good, strong social connections to people around you, be it online or offline, is definitely something that you want to have.
We are very social creatures.
Absolutely.
Even the antisocial people.
And I'm as antisocial as it gets. I get angry thinking that I need to depend on other people just to have the good benefits, but that's just how it is.
Yeah. Even if it sucks, there's not a lot you can do about it. Stupid brains wired in stupid ways.
But if you can push through it, it's a beautiful thing to have when you have a community with you.
Yeah.
It feels
and
good.
I've seen a lot of people in in Final Fantasy XIV, like, building those communities. People who might who, as we talked about earlier, might put on the smiling face around others, might not feel it, that they're able to talk about it. They find people that they can come and talk to, and it's a really nice thing to see. And I encourage people the friendships that you make here, like, be there for them. Know that they're here for you.
Yes. So I hope go ahead. Sorry, Chili.
It's why I feel always lucky that I'm part of this community, because I am quite alone in real life. So it's nice to have people to talk to online.
Yeah, you're always just overflowing with, like, love and appreciation for the people that you know in this game. And it's really nice to see. It makes me feel loved.
Means a lot to me.
Yes. So, like I say, this is the time of year. Just make sure to reach out and, you know, be good to people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And for those who are in crisis, the holidays are definitely one of the times where you have, like, higher suicide risks, again, because of this overwhelming feeling that this isn't how it was supposed to be. This is never going to be. This was the vision of how the holidays are supposed to be, and I don't have it. And it's like, it's normal to feel that way. It's common. If you're feeling that way, please do reach out to a crisis support line. to a friend that you feel you can trust, to anyone. It's normal. You're not alone on this. Please.
Absolutely.
I do want to also mention that in the past few recent years that the depression is on such a high occurrence rate. It's increasing so much faster than just about anything else. It's by far the number one reason of missing work, far more than the common cold or before it was digestive and bowel issues, but now it's depression. It's just skyrocketed in the past few years, and it's on a trend to continue increasing far more and more. So the chances of you knowing someone that is going through significant depression to the point where they can no longer even work is going to be quite high. So definitely, if you have any friends or loved ones, try to do your best to take care of them, or just look out for them and understand that it's not like Claw said, there is a negative stigma related to it, and we need to break that and enable people to feel like that they're not alone in this problem, and that it's okay to have depression, it's okay to have these bad things, and that things can get better, that you can work on improving it in other ways than just having more motivation. You have to have support. You don't have to, but having a support group there will help make that a lot easier for anybody. Yeah.
You are not broken for feeling this way.
Yep. And absolutely, you're not alone. No matter what you think, you are not alone.
We can understand how you might feel that way. And if you ever want to talk about it, we'll let you talk about it.
Yep.
And we won't tell you that you shouldn't feel alone, because sometimes you do feel that way, even if you know it's not necessarily true. Sometimes your brain just tells you stuff.
Yep.
And that's okay. We'll listen.
Well, I hope that this was
good. Oh my God, that was exhausting.
But I hope it was also, I know for me, it was actually, it felt good.
Oh, I feel the good kind of exhaustive. I feel exhausted. This is something that...
It was a very deep subject.
It's not always easy to think and talk about.
No, it's not. Like, because there's so many things that are tied to it. And I wanted to bring it out there because, you know, I don't want to be ashamed of not being perfect. I don't want to be ashamed of, you know, having issues and not feeling the way that everybody thinks I'm supposed to feel. I don't want to be ashamed for being me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's right, man. You be you, and to hell with everyone else. You do what you think is right, and you feel what you want to feel or what you think you're feeling. It's real. Your feelings are real. They're who you are. That's what. But you don't have to let them define you. But you do have to recognize that these feelings are there. They're there for a reason, and you have to accept that. That's just how it is. But that's okay. We're all human. We're made to have feelings. We're made to feel things in certain ways.
I kind of like that. Like, it doesn't define you, but it is part of you.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. I hope that this was helpful to anybody who's listening to the show. I apologize if it got a little long, but like I said, I thought this was something that we really wanted to talk about because it affects so many of us.
Yeah.
And
I mean, like, as I said, like, you almost certainly know someone who goes through this. I think everyone on this show is dealing with some type of mental health or other issue like that. It's so common. It's just something that happens for a lot of people, and it's good to be able to talk about.
Definitely. So let's take the slightly heavy topic that we just finished there, and let's kind of make it a little bit more happy. Let's have a giveaway. Let's do another giveaway. You guys.
I mean, it is our Starlight Celebration
show.
You should have a little bit of gift giving.
Yes.
All the other stuff about the holidays that can be stressful, there are some nice bits.
All right. So I've opened up a new giveaway for those of you in Twitch. Go ahead and type in !pickme. And we will, I hope people are still around. Yeah, Moogle Quest. What does it mean they stopped? Hold on a second here. There we go. Go ahead and re-enter again. I must have clicked it a second time by accident. While that's open, let's go ahead and talk about some emails and comments that we got, because we're going to go ahead and skip lore for the week. We've had a very heavy discussion there, and we'll let Sarah kind of bring us a new lore segment on the next show.
He said
the giveaway this time is for the Mog Station minion. Final Fantasy 14 Mog Station minion of your choice. Just let me know what you want, and we'll pick it up for you and send you the code for it. And we will also be talking about a giveaway we're going to be doing for those of you listening on the podcast, so you guys don't feel left out. We'll talk about that after we get done with our emails and comments segment.
Yeah, we love all of you guys.
Yes. So I'm going to start with a comment we got after shouting out Final Fantasy's 30th anniversary back on the 18th. At Jerry the Forest commented back to us, Final Fantasy 1 is why I am so stingy about using magic in dungeons when I play single player RPGs. Gotta save those 9 cures for the boss.
Yes, for those of you who never played it, unlike the other Final Fantasy games where you have magic points and use some number for each spell, Final Fantasy 1 was a lot more like your classic Dungeons & Dragons wizard, mm-hmm. where you have some number of spell slots, each with like various things. And so if you've got this many castings of cure, if you use them up, you could turn the magical energy for your fire spell into a cure. You're out.
Well, I thought it was actually, you had so many per level to cast, whether it was for this spell, or this spell.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like level 1, level 2, level 3, and you had 3 slots in each of those, or maybe a little bit more.
You had 3 slots of each level, and you had so many points at each that you could cast at each level.
Yeah.
But it was still something where I don't believe you could use higher level slots for lower level spells, and the only way to recharge those slots was to go back to a town.
Or tent, I believe, would also recharge them. Tent or house, maybe.
But it was not. It was something where you didn't have the option of ethers. You didn't have the option of saying, "Oh, hey, I will stop spending stuff on this kind of spell because I need them for the cures." It's like you've got that many, make them last.
Yep, and you maybe would then end up having to use up instead. You want to use like a potion or something like that, or you would end up having to save one on your black mage with that escape spell to get out of the dungeon, so you can go and recharge up everything. But then you had to start right at the beginning of the dungeon again.
Magic points definitely was one of the first quality of life improvements, I have to think.
Yep.
Yeah.
I also want
to... One second. I'll admit that I store all my powerful items. I'd never use them in case I need them.
Yeah?
Like, I don't want to use it on this boss. I might need it next boss.
Yeah.
I don't
want to use it.
This is the last boss's third form, and you've got 15 mega elixirs.
But I might need it.
Plus?
But I might
need it. There might be a secret boss after it.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Chili.
Yeah.
And then I also wanted to mention, again, thank you to everyone who took the time to tweet to me at my birthday. And it really felt awesome to feel all that love yesterday. So thank you again. As well as a year after initially tweeting out a picture of Final Fantasy games in a short phrase. You know, basically, I found this image that listed all the different Final Fantasy games, you know, and gave like a very short description of it.
Oh, I think I know the one you're talking about.
We started getting likes and retweets on that again a year later. It's hilarious. So I thought that was very cool. All right, we're going to go ahead and close the giveaway, and we're going to pick a winner.
Who's our lucky winner?
Foteric again.
Wow, he got two. Oh,
dang.
Lucky guy. Congratulations. Message me or message in the chat. There you go.
Jeez.
Not rigged. It was absolutely random. Absolutely random. Because we're in. And you should be one to talk there, Mithrin.
Don't tell him that.
Thank you.
We'll just have to do some more giveaways at some point.
And like I said, so I mean, if you want, we're also going to be giving away. What are we giving away, Chili?
I'm going to be giving away a mount and 2 minions. And first place will be a mount. Second place will be the minions.
Yes, we're going to pick 3 winners for that. So if you're listening to this on the podcast or even live on the show here, we're going to include you guys too because you can do this too. What we want you to do. Is we want you to email us podcast@phoenixstarradio.com and tell us what your starlight wish is. So what's your Christmas wish in Final Fantasy 14?
I want to add that double mounts don't count. because of they're so much more expensive than normal mounts.
It'd be a standard mount.
Standard mounts.
Also, your Starlight Wish does not have to be a mount or a minion. If there's something else that you want to talk about, and this is not your designating which one you want, we just want to hear your Starlight wishes.
And then when we get all these, we're going to put them all together. I'm going to show them to Sarah, Luna, and Chili, and we're going to pick our three favorites. And then those people are the ones that are going to win. So make us laugh, make us sigh, make us cry, whatever you think we want to see, you know, whatever's going to hit us, just let us know. We just want to have something fun with this.
Oh God, they're going to pump us so full of sap. We have to blow our noses with a pancake.
Hey, and that might be a thing, but I don't know if I want to eat that pancake afterwards. It might not be too good. So again, email us podcast@phoenixdownradio.com with what your Starlight wish is in the game. What do you wish for Starlight?
Are we talking like our version of pancakes or the American version? Because yours are quite big.
Well, no, we have small ones too.
Oh no, our pancakes are more like what you would call crepes, I'd say.
Ah. No, I was thinking more like American-style ones. Like, I don't usually put syrup on crepes.
Because we have, like, really thin pancakes.
Oh, man, now I want crepes.
Oh, man, crepes from the Paris? That little place they had there?
Mm-hmm.
That was
I've made
good.
My own crepes before. I can do a passable crepe.
Nice. So, Foteric, let me know what you want for a mount. If you need to go to the Mog... Minion. And let me know what you want, and we'll get you a... why don't you send it to podcast@phoenixonradio.com as well? That way I'll have your email address that I can send the code to. So we'll get that to you. Mithrin, thank you for joining us. Why don't you go ahead and start with if you have any shout-outs?
I just want to shout out PDR. Thank you guys for letting me join here. You guys are an amazing podcaster and live stream and all that stuff, I think. I look forward to seeing you guys pop up in my feed every single time it comes up, and it makes my long days a lot easier when I get to come back and listen to this. I definitely want to shout out to all of the FF14 podcasts gathered together, Shields, I Tank, Aetherite Radio, and State of the Realm are the ones I listen to the most, but they're all wonderful and great. And thank you, Klaus, for throwing on an awesome Christmas party, and happy belated birthday again, and thank you guys for having me, and you guys are awesome.
Keep up the awesome work. Thank you. Chili?
Well, I want to shout out to Mifrin. Thanks for being on. A shout out to everyone in Twitch chat. Shout out to Evolve Mail and King Girlfriend's Twitch stream at twitch.tv/EvolveMail. Shout out to Asuna. And a shout out to, just a shout out. Thank you to my amazing host for having me again.
Very cool. Sarah?
So shout out to Mithrin and to everyone in the chat and listening on the podcast. It was really nice to just get a chance to talk openly about this type of thing. As I say, it was exhausting, but in a really good way. And thank you all for sharing this with us. Shout out to my free company members, Tristan Vilmount and Cyrillo Wrongway, who did a large number of dungeons because we are crazy people who like obsolete glamour weapons. Shout out to the really nice employee at the Wetzel's Pretzels in the Valley Fair Mall Westfield who was just really, really cheerful when I got a pretzel when I was doing some Christmas shopping. Like, it stuck with me. Those tiny little interactions, they can stick with people,
they
you know?
They really do.
Yeah, so shout out to her.
Very cool.
And I guess that's about it.
And, of course, I want to shout out to Mithrin. Thank you for joining us on short notice and talking with us about our subject today. Shout out to Luna. Feel better. I hope you really feel better soon. Crappy time of year to not feel good, but hopefully everything is starting to get better. Hopefully your voice starts to come back. And hopefully the Theraflu helps you get some rest because it sounds like you need it. Go ahead.
Also, shout out to her for coming and hanging around for as long as she could, even when she wasn't feeling well. Like, the time that she did take was really nice.
She's a trooper. And we love her for it. Shout out to everybody who showed up to the Phoenix Rising Free Company Starlight Celebration Party. today. I had a great time with all of you. I hope you guys had fun, because it was a lot of fun to put this on for you. And like I said, we want to see all of your screenshots from the show, or from the party, so we can, you know, all, you know, reminisce about how awesome it was. Mm-hmm. And shout out to everybody who listens on the podcast. We really do appreciate everybody who takes the time to listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever. So thank you so much. Our website is www.phoenixdownradio.com. You can email us comments, questions, anything you'd like at podcast@phoenixdownradio.com. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, we are at @PHXDNRadio. If you listen to us on the podcast and you want to check us out live sometime on Twitch, we are at twitch.tv/phoenixdownradio. You can also check out the videos of all of our shows out at youtube.com/phoenixdownradio, as well as find us out on Facebook at facebook.com/phoenixdownradio. We're trying to be everywhere. We've got Tumblr too, but we'll talk about that one later. Where can you guys be found?
So you can find me, Sayre, your friendly librarian, at FFXIVSEYRR. You mostly get pictures of random things I cooked and various library musings, but if people want to talk at me there, I'm happy to have conversations. Slide into your DMs, is that a thing the kids still say?
Oh my.
Oh, that's a sex thing, isn't it? I was also really disappointed when I found out that Netflix and chill involved no actual Netflix.
Really? It doesn't. I always...
It can. No. It maybe starts there, but...
It's a thing where there's, like, casual sex.
Well, it's...
That's more disappointed now.
Isn't it, though? I was like, we're going to hang out and have a nice time and watch a movie.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Chili, how can they find you?
You can find me at ChiliUK on Twitter, or you can email me at ben.chilibearhole@psu.com.
And I can be found at @PHXDN_Klaus. That's Klaus with two S's. So that'll do it for this episode. If you like what you heard, make sure to like, subscribe, or follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, YouTube, Podbean, TuneIn, or whatever your preferred podcatcher is. And we'd love it if you could leave us a rating or a review as well. It helps other people find our show and helps us to really grow in the community. If you really dig the show, please consider becoming a subscriber here at Twitch, or checking out our Patreon page at patreon.com/phoenixdownradio, especially now since they've actually taken away those extra fees that were causing a lot of people to really dump their Patreon subscriptions.
Oh, so, that was a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
Yeah, so that's gone back to normal. So if you want to support the show again, patreon.com/phoenixdownradio is still a good source for that as well. All the proceeds go towards growing the show, covering things like hosting costs, and allow us to do these fun giveaways and things like that. So, but as always, any kind of support, whether it's emails, likes, tweets, or whatever, it's always greatly appreciated. We really love interacting with you guys and the rest of the community. So for my hosts, Luna Vox, who had to leave a little early, for Sayre Timono and for Chili, I'm Klaus Nightbringer, wishing everybody a wonderful starlight. Merry Christmas to everybody, and we'll see you next year. Take care.
Phoenix Down Radio is a production of PhoenixDownRadio.com and Illusion Productions. Final Fantasy XIV and Eorzea are trademarks of Square Enix. In-game content for Phoenix Down Radio is a copyright of Square Enix. Open to music for Phoenix Down Radio is provided by Guilty Gear Rocky. Check out the Metal Chocobo theme cover and many other music videos at youtube.com/GuiltyGearRocky. Closing music for this episode is provided by GuitarWanker90. Please check out their full version of Matoya's Cave and other rock video game covers at youtube.com/GuitarWanker90. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of Phoenix Down Radio and its hosts, and do not reflect the views of Square Enix.